The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McKusick. It's time for this week's matchups episode in preparation for this Browns game coming up on Sunday. Joining me to talk about the defense right now is Frazier Tafar. Frazier, how you doing?
Doing good, Ken. Glad to be back for the defensive matchup show. Big division time game against Cleveland. Second division game of the year, so very important in the division standings.
Yeah, it really is. And if they end up splitting with a team like the Steelers, which is certainly a possibility, you can't afford to let one get away against the Browns. It's a team you got to beat and a team you need for your for the most important matchup of all, in a sense, the winning the division, getting into the tournament, at least as a three or a four. I think, honestly, the Ravens ought to have their sights set on no less than the two right now. I think it's actually quite unlikely they'll get the one looking at the Chiefs schedule, but the two is very achievable. It basically means they're going to need to beat the Texans on Christmas there. Tough game, but it's doable. Or they might have to go back there again during the playoffs.
Yep, and I think really it starts with this week against this Browns team, continuing to keep the trend we have the past couple of weeks. And starting off with the matchups, I have the Browns' new-look offense led by Jameis Winston versus the Ravens' scheme. There is some validity to the advantages that QBs have on their first start. There's less film on them, less data, so they're able to – the offensive coordinator, Stefanski in this case, is able to have different schemes and plays in that really fit Jameis rather than – Watson and who's the backup? DTR?
Actually, he's hurt. I think there's somebody else who might be the backup this week. Okay. But I haven't heard for sure yet. And I guess tomorrow we'll get the final injury report on what's going on. But Jameis is definitely starting.
Yeah. So Jameis' play style is different from those two. So having that going for the Browns is going to be an issue. And I'm curious to see how or is able to operate under those circumstances.
It's a interesting game for Orr, certainly. Jameis is a guy who should really help this defense get right, help them find their way. Without Marlon Humphrey, they'll be without one of their big ball hawks, but this is certainly a team that has a lot of interception potential, really all over this defense, frankly. I mean, Stevens is a potential guy. Jameis lets the ball rip. Your linebackers, having Hamilton at the dimeback spot in particular. I mean, there should be some turnovers happening in this game. Wiggins, a guy who's had his hand on the football a lot, he'll likely be playing. So, hopefully this is a game where they take advantage of Jameis. There is plenty of tape out there on Jameis from past years. One thing that'll be a little bit different is I believe it's this week Ken Dorsey is taking over as the play caller for the Browns. And there was some question, this came up in the Know Your Foe episode, some question as to whether Stefanski was forced to give up his play calling duties or was decided to do it himself. And this is one of the really interesting things in the Know Your Foe episode, which it's posted on Friday. So go back and take a listen to that if you can. Jake Burns is fantastic about going through the team. Very level-headed. No, there's no brown colored glasses, believe me, as he's going through that. But is very frustrated with the team, clearly, and with the Watson situation, and just very tired is how he started the episode describing his mood about what was going on. But he's got tremendous inside information on what's going on with the Browns. And Dorsey apparently, either via the direction of Haslam, which I think is unlikely, or more likely it was from the direction of Barry, is giving up his play calling duties for the offense, but they'll have a he'll still be, I think, involved in the offensive stuff. He'll still obviously be the head coach. He's been a two-time coach of the year, so I don't think he's in danger of losing his job necessarily for next season. But you know, there may be he may have gotten a directive that, hey, how can you make this offense better? And Ken Dorsey was brought in to help, you know, make the offense better. And now he's going to take over the play calling. And I think one supposition that Jake made was that was done out of self-preservation, that he can externalize the offensive problems, Stefanski can, by having some other coach do it and do no better.
Right.
And you know, obviously the Browns offense has been in the absolute sewer. It's a combination of problems here. A very poor offensive line, not a good receiving core. Njoku is a good player. Betonio is very old, and we'll get into some of the other problems that offense has, but just out of self-preservation, this he may have been more than happy for this move to occur, but it's still not clear whether he was directed to do it or maybe queried on whether it'd be a good idea, or maybe just came up with it himself.
Yeah, and I think that even brings the element of surprise to the Ravens' doorstep more evident, because Ken Dorsey's taken over. He's going to probably have his own style, his own cadence. So it will be a challenge for the Ravens. And I think the main thing is, can Orr come in with a game plan and continue to deviate from that plan when it doesn't go? Because we saw it all throughout these past 5 weeks. Bucks game, it was evident when we went on those six straight stops, but we kind of just let up near the end when the game was kind of in hand. But continuing to build off that in-game adjustment for him is going to be crucial this game against the Browns.
Right. The way the Bucks game script played out, unfortunate. The way the Dallas game script played out, unfortunate. The games are similar in a sort of in some sense, because each of them was a win that was much closer than we would have liked, but each was also highly facilitated by a onside kick that succeeded. There's only been two in the entire NFL that have succeeded this year. So both of them are Zay Flowers not collecting the football. One time out on a bad play, the other time on just a play that probably nobody else would have had anyway, or it would have been a totally different type of player. It was interesting. They said at the podium today, and this was Horton, saying, I think at the podium, the special teams coach, I think that's Horton, said today that they were talking about shifting around personnel. We can try some different things, have different people in different spots and whatnot. That may imply that their hands guy back there needs to be a little bigger, because that would have been what would have changed it. Aguilar, I believe, is one of the two guys, but he's the guy on the other side of the field they had to be the designated catcher. Flowers was the one on that side, and so maybe they use somebody else. Maybe it becomes, I don't know, Tez Walker, who's a little taller, or a tight end, or whatever it might be. But you do have some options to have a little more size over there.
Yeah, I'd rather have a tight end in that position. I'm not a fan of Aguilar's hands. He's usually a double catcher, so I don't like that. Wallace would be a good candidate. He's strong with the catch point, and I wouldn't put Bateman there just because of injury risk. I think. Yep. The fourth receivers and below and the tight ends would be my best option, because the issue with the Zay Flowers onside is just he's not big enough to get up there and get that contact with the ball. So tight end would definitely be suitable for that situation.
Right. Definitely got boxed out on the rebound as that kick appeared. All right, let me move on. My matchup is Jameis versus the troubled safeties. And this is kind of like a great opportunity to get right for these safeties. And they have sucked. Marcus Williams, 12.5 yards per target, 143.9 opposition passer rating. Eddie Jackson, 13.2 yards per target. Strangely, also 143.9 opposition passer rating, which is incredible. It might be the same. I'll have to look and see if it's the same number of targets and yards and everything like that, but it's really remarkably close otherwise. Ardarius Washington, I think they will stay with in the dime package on the back end, which restricts the number of total Eddie Jackson snaps. I did hear someone talking about, well, if they're bringing Mollett back in there, won't they put Hamilton on the back end more? They might play less big nickel and more standard nickel, having Mollett back, and that would put Hamilton on the back end more, so it's possible. I think, you know, Hamilton's going to remain as the dime back in the dime, and he's going to remain in the big nickel in the big nickel. So they're still going to try and get him up at the line of scrimmage when they can. I think because of that, we probably won't see a lot more Hamilton on the back end. I'm sure he could help that group, and I'm still not sure it's the best use of him. But honestly, with what's going on the back end, it might be. So Ravens are going to try some different things. We'll see. We won't hear in advance. We'll just see what it happens when they finally decide that Eddie Jackson isn't the guy anymore, and we're sitting him on the bench. I have a guess that they probably, when they do it, they will cut him and sign somebody else at that time. I don't think that they'll just have him festering on the bench for a period of time after he's gone. They did it with Rock Ya-Sin last year. So, you know, they thought of a guy as additional depth at that point. But it's not clear to me they'll do that. But this is, you know, it's, they may have an opportunity to simplify the system against Jameis. In a lot of ways, it's see quarterback, read quarterback, go get the football with Jameis. You want to be playing a lot of zone defense. He's happy to rip the ball into small windows. And you just need to be ready to make plays on the football.
Yeah, and Eddie Jackson has definitely been the safety group has been disappointing as a whole this year, but Eddie Jackson in particular, only because I know we didn't bring him in on a big deal or anything, but the depth and the style we like with that split field safety that we had in Stone, that operation for our defense is key. And to not have that crucial aspect be able to work out like it did last year is disappointing, to say the least. I don't know if when Mollett comes back, that just means I assume Ardarius is going to play that split safety role with Williams. If when Mollett comes back, I don't think they're going to be playing around with Eddie Jackson for too long. He is the reason why we're considering a trade at safety right now. The offense definitely doesn't need help too much other than, I don't know, people are asking for a receiver. I think we're good.
Right.
But go ahead.
So just to be clear, Eddie Jackson has really underperformed relative to any kind of hope. There's no doubt about that. A lot of people would, I think, justifiably say Marcus Williams has been a bigger disappointment,
yep,
even though he probably has gotten a little better as the season has gone on. But he's been a bigger disappointment in terms of what they're paying him. And the position the Ravens put themselves in is that they don't have anyone now who can replace Williams at free safety. So their only strategy at this point is hope that Williams will play better at the free safety position, other than going out and making a trade and having a backup free safety that immediately replaces Jackson as the split field guy, which I think is a perfectly reasonable thing that they'll do. Ardarius Washington didn't have the greatest game either, so I would really believe that they may still keep Jackson in a fairly limited role,
right. Only
on the field when they play big nickel. And then when they play dime, I expect it's going to be Ardarius based on how they've deployed in the last couple of games. So I believe we're going to see anyway. I think they have a high tolerance for veterans, and they're just going to give it one more.
Didn't you know it's possible to get THC shipped right to your door? Mood delivers premium 100% federally legal THC directly to you. I'm talking about delicious high potency gummies, top shelf flower, home baked cookies, vapes, anything you'd find at a dispensary. You can now order online and have it shipped quickly, discreetly, and conveniently right to your door. And every Mood product is made from pesticide free cannabis grown on America's best small farms at prices that won't destroy your wallet. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code RAVENS. So head to mood.com/ravens, check out their online dispensary, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code Ravens when you check out to save 20% on your first order.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Week. And at some point this season, and it won't be forever down the road, they're going to decide, look, enough is enough. We got to make a change.
Yeah. And I think Ardarius does well in the box and as a nickel or the dime. The only issue is that his hands have been questionable, especially the past two opportunities he had to pick the ball off. We need those turnovers, and thank gosh one of them was a touchdown drive, regardless, 90 yards. But we can't make the offense go long yard all the time.
Okay, so I'll ask you. I'll put this in the form of a question.
Okay,
which is worse, not getting to a football all year to be in a position to intercept it, or getting to two footballs in 2 or 3 weeks that he's been playing deep and failing to catch it? And admittedly, the second one went right through his hands for a big completion. So this is not an easy question necessarily to answer. But which would you prefer? Which gives us better prospects for the future? Let's maybe put it that way. Definitely the latter, because
he's getting to the spot and he's able to know where to be. And he just has to finish. So, but I don't know what it is. It's like he gets too excited when he gets close to the ball. I don't know. Definitely have to work on that.
Yeah, we didn't see a fear of the football or anything this whole summer. He actually, particularly at the end of camp, he was playing as well as anybody other than Marlon Humphrey, probably. Marlon Humphrey was the best player all camp. But best player probably on either side of the ball, but certainly on the defense all camp. So I really hope Washington can figure it out too. But anyway, big get-right game. In that perspective.
Yep. So on to my next point. I have the Ravens linebackers versus the middle of the field. We've had issues being exposed over the middle field this year and for many reasons, but I'm looking for Roquan specifically to have a bounce back game in terms of pass coverage. He's been all over the field in tackles, been okay in the run game this year, but he's really lacked in pass coverage, getting his drops, trying to get in the right windows. Njoku has been a Raven killer over the past couple of years, and I continue to see that trend this week. So a lot of seams, a lot of hitches in the middle of the field, and those things could come to arise this week, and they're going to try and target Roquan, and I expect him to be ready for the opportunity this week.
Roquan's playing very well right now. He's made his last 59 tackles without a miss since the last tackle he missed was in week two. So that's an incredible run, 18 in this last game. He's forcing fall fumble. He's hitting people hard. He drew that face mask by the sidelines. I'm happy with where he is. I think part of what's making Roquan's job difficult, there's multiple things. It's mostly the players around him, though. It's mostly the two safeties on the back end being really indecisive about where they're going. Williams' problem is mostly indecision, I would say. Jackson, there's been too many coverage drops. the other thing about Roquan is that, and this is more an or issue, is that I really don't like the way he's being used on as many A-gap blitzes as he is.
Yes.
And if they have to do it, I would like them to do what Tampa did, which is basically stagger their A-gap sim pressure off the line of scrimmage by about 2 yards. And if you do that, then you know there's some choice of gap, and there is, you don't have that instant at the beginning where the offensive lineman is immediately fooled or whatnot, but you're also in a better position to drop the coverage. And we saw immediately the play that Baker and company had designed to go out into the right flat for a real solid gain of 13 yards. Just because Roquan couldn't possibly get back to that spot.
Yeah, and those kind of issues in coverage, I mean, you really can't blame him. It's just scheme at that point. So those things he can't control. And like you mentioned, the safeties aren't helping him as well. And I don't think there is an issue with the running mate next to him, because other than when Harrison's in the game, because he's just going to get exposed in space. And then
he hasn't played any inside linebacker since
KC, right?
It might be week two. He had one snap or something, but it wasn't. He's hardly played there since that game. They knew they'd made a big mistake right away,
right?
And Simpson. Then they went to the dime in week three against Dallas, and since then, you know, first of all, they won five straight games. The dime hasn't performed uniformly outstanding. At least it'd be hard to dissect that because there are a lot of other countercurrents going on there. Most notably, that Eddie Jackson was in for a lot of plays when they were in dime. And so you really don't know, you can't see the full effect, I don't think, yet of how good that dime defense has been. But I think they'll stick with that. I think that's the one that gives them the best chance in the middle of the field to add a prime defender.
Agreed.
Yeah. All right. So my second one is the front 4/5 versus the Cleveland offensive line. Obviously, it's usually 4 when it's on a passing down. It can be 5 if they're in a base package. Or if you think of it as they're bringing a blitzer from somewhere, whether it's a slot corner, inside linebacker, whatever it might be. But the front 4 and 5, the Cleveland pass blocking is an absolute dumpster fire this year. Both tackles are terrible. Jedrick Wills has been a big disappointment. It was a strength probably last year. Sorry, the interior was a strength last year, but now everybody all of a sudden is getting older and is not as good. And there's problems with the quality of player next to you that's kind of exponentiated the issues. But then they have three very recognizable names on the interior with Posick at center and Teller and Bitonio at guards. And Bitonio, I mean, he's headed to the Cleveland Ring of Honor as soon as he retires. He's you know, one of their really great offensive linemen of the new Browns era, along with Joe Thomas. And, you know, he just looks old right now, is the word I'm getting from Jake Burns. So they need to scheme up singles for that. It'd be very important to have a healthy Travis Jones for this game. Mm. Right now, he's DNP, then he's limited on the first 2 days of practice. So we'll see tomorrow if he can have that usual path of DNP limited full, which gets him back on the field. But the Ravens really need that. If they don't have that, then I think there'll be a lot of burden placed on Pierce to be on the field on passing downs with Matabike, and that'll create more pressure on snap count there that I'm not really fond of. Jones is a guy who eats a lot of snaps. One of the problems with the defense in the fourth quarter was Jones only played 2 snaps. He was hurt, and they didn't have him out there. They were using Pierce and Matabike to try and get the same effect, but they didn't get a single pressure other than on a 2-point try from the interior defensive line that entire fourth quarter. So that was a big part of how things kind of broke down. The Ravens have done better than that this year, and they really need to do better this week against Cleveland.
Yep, and I do anticipate Cleveland coming out and trying to establish the run with the new offensive coordinator in Dorsey. So that rotation, if Travis Jones is not available, is going to be tested, especially with a big guy like Pierce. He's going to have to play a lot of snaps. Like you mentioned, I think the only thing that would scare me is, are they going to try and kick Van Noy inside and then maybe trying to make that 4 and then the 5th option? And then I'm just confused. If someone goes down, what is their contingency plan?
Okay, so they did that. They played the dime 27 times, I believe, in this last game. It was 14 and 13. I forget if it was which was 14, which was 13, but effectively it was half of the time they used a rush dime, which means they use 3 outside linebackers instead of 2. So they already have adjusted some for that. And one of the good things is all 3 of their sacks came with the rush dime on the field. So they were getting the outside linebacker situation to work, and the inside, it was the interior defensive line just had a really bad game in this case. So hopefully, you know, they got to get in Jameis's face. If they do that, I'm confident they're gonna force errors, and Jameis will always give you a few unforced errors as well, just based on who he is. By the way, I had not heard this story, but apparently last year, Jameis was playing for another team in Atlanta, and they called for a kneel down from the sidelines to end the game,
and he audibled it.
And he audibled it to a touchdown run.
Yep.
Yeah. So you're aware of this. Okay. I one of the things about doing this analysis is I focus much more on the Ravens games than I do on the rest of the NFL. So I if I knew it, I forgot it. Let's put it that way. but that's unforgivable. I mean, you know, that is just unforgivable for your quarterback to do that to you.
Yeah, I think I think it was because Alvin Kamara was like one touchdown short of something. I don't know. And they were up like almost 60. So,
okay.
Yeah, I don't know exactly why Jameis did that, but definitely doesn't bode well. And it's like in a brotherhood league like the NFL, you can't do as sportsmanship. You can't do that. But I back to the offensive line versus, I mean, yeah, Browns offensive line. I expect to see a lot of pressure all day, especially if they can't establish the run, because that's the only way they're going to be able to neutralize the Ravens pass rush. And then also the Ravens have to score on offense, which I anticipate. But if that doesn't happen, the run is going to be able to be in play. And the Ravens have shown some issue to stop the run the past couple of weeks, and hoping that doesn't get exposed this week.
What would be your over-under on points scored for the Ravens this week? It's not a great Browns team, but they probably are a little bit better defensively. I think they know the Ravens pretty well. They match up against the Ravens reasonably well on defense. I'm talking. But
27.5.
Okay, I was going to say 33.
Okay.
I think it's yeah, it'd be above their average against the rest of the league still, where they've had 31. But I think that If they're going to get up to that total, one thing I'd be counting on is that, Winston is going to make some errors that could put him in.
Give him some possessions for sure. Yeah. I mean, four touchdowns seems like it's possible if I were to do the over under, I would do over on 27.5. Because, okay. I mean, Henry is almost good for one or two a game. And then Lamar, he could throw for two himself. So I just, I know that Jameis is going to give us one, and we have to capitalize on every single opportunity. So that's the one thing that we definitely need to focus on offense is just that conversion rate.
All right. Well, outstanding. Frazier, always fun doing this show with you. Tell folks where they can talk football with you online.
You guys can reach me at Twitter/X at F_Rave8. That's F_RAVE8.
All right. Thanks for listening, folks. If you have the thought to do it, please show this show to somebody else, retweet it, like and subscribe, or show it to a friend directly off the website. That would be the best. Anyway, for Frazier Tapar, this is Ken McCusick saying goodbye. We'll talk to you next time on Matchups.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. And instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI on Unlimited Ultimate and watch or tap. Also, on them.
Service plan required for watch or tap. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Taxes was taxing. Now taxes is relaxing when you file for free.
I can file for free? TurboTax Free Edition. Roughly 37% of filers qualify. Simple form 1040 returns only. See if you qualify at TurboTax.com/free. I can file for free.
Now this is taxes. File for free with TurboTax Free Edition and get your maximum refund. No schedules except for earned income tax credit, child tax credit, and student loan interest. See if you qualify at TurboTax.com/free.